Okay, let's continue with the color models. We said that a color model is a three-dimensional system with three axes and a volume inside this space. For example, in the case of RGB, we can imagine each color normalized between 0 and 1. Okay? And then the all available colors will be inside a cube of dimension 1 located in the origin of the system. Then if you think on this cube, black color will be the, at the origin of the system, of the coordinate system, will be 0, 0, 0. Red will be 1, 0, 0. Green, 0, 1, 0. And blue, in the third axis, 0, 0, 1. For example, yellow is the addition of red and green, then corresponds to 1, 1, 0. Okay? And the white color will be the addition of RGB, corresponds to 1, 1, 1. All gray levels are along this vector, going from 0, 0, 0 to 1, 1, 1. I mean, all gray levels in a RGB representation have the same amount of all three components. Sorry. Well, typically we use, for example, 1 byte to represent each component. Then, instead of using coordinates between 0 and 1, maybe we use coordinates between 0 and 255 for each component. But it's usually very useful to think on it as values between 0 and 1. Normalized values. Well, the cyan, magenta, yellow system can be obtained from the RGB system simply using this subtraction. 1 minus red will give you cyan, because they are opposite colors. 1 minus green will give you magenta, and 1 minus blue will give you the yellow. Okay, for example, it's also possible to transform between other color models and RGB, or the other way around. For example, if you have an RGB television and you receive a signal NTCS, you want to transform this to RGB values to show it on your television or your monitor. Okay? Well, here you can see the transformation between RGB and the NTC system can be done with this matrix. It's a linear transformation. You multiply these three values by this matrix and you obtain the signal to transmit in NTCS television. If you want to do the inverse transformation, simply you take this matrix, you compute the inverse of the matrix, and then multiply the YIQ values by the inverse of the matrix, and you get the RGB values. Same with PAL television, the European television. You can see here that the Y channel is the same in the US television and in the Europe television. But the two prominence channels, in this case the U and V, are computed differently. Okay? Well, for image processing, we usually want to use the Hue saturation and intensity model that uses these three values, H, S, and I. Well, these three values can be obtained from RGB with these computations? Well, let's look at the idea. The intensity is quite simple, is the addition of RGB values divided by 3, then it's the mean intensity in the three values. If the three values are normalized between 0 and 1, the intensity is also normalized between 0 and 1. Well, if you plot this triangle with R, G, and B, the hue can be computed using this expression and corresponds to the angle between the line going to the red and the actual color we have. Then remember here, in the center of this triangle we will have the white color, okay? Then red will have hue equal to 0, green will have 120 degrees, blue will have 240 degrees of hue, and red again 0, okay? Then using this transformation, the H value will be computed in degrees or in radians. If we want to normalize it, we have to make the transformation to transform it to a value between 0 and 1, or between 0 and 255, if we want to represent it with a byte. Okay? Then always think of the hue as the angle between the vector that represents our color and the red. Okay? And finally, saturation, remember, is related to the content of white that is in our image, more exactly with the purity of the color. Then saturation can be computed with this equation you have here. A simple way to see it working: imagine a color that has RGB of 100, that will be red. Okay? If you compute the saturation for this color, then the minimum value of RGB will be 0. Okay? Then the numerator here is 0, divided by 1, then it's again 0, and 1 minus that is 1. Then the red color has saturation of 1. Okay? If, for example, you put a color pure white, 111, and compute the saturation, the minimum value of RGB will be 1, then the numerator is 3, the lower part of the fraction is also 3, then 1 minus 1 gives saturation equal to 0. Okay? Then white color has 0 saturation, pure red color has saturation of 1. Okay? And rose color will have intermediate values for saturation. Then, for example, if you put RGB 1.5.5, this will be rose color. Okay? More content on red and equal amount in the rest of wavelengths, in this case in the other two signals. Okay, then this is the way to transform from RGB to hue, saturation and intensity, and to compute the inverse transformation is a little more complicated. You have to take into account in which of these three parts of the triangle you are, and then in this sector, in the sector between the red and green, with hue between 0 and 120 degrees, the equation, the inverse transformation is this one. In the second sector is this one, and in the third sector is represented by these equations. Okay? Then this allows us to obtain RGB from hue, saturation and intensity. Well, how to obtain color images, obviously using a color camera, that's clear. Well, there are two types. The nowadays old analog cameras use it as output signals very similar to the signals that arrive to our television. It means NTC signal, PAL signal, or VHS signal. These analog output cameras need an acquisition card that is able to sample this analog signal and convert to digital values in our computer. Okay? These cameras are still used for historical reasons. For example, in security surveillance, there are many old cameras that still use these old standards. But currently, you want to buy a camera for computer vision, you will buy a digital camera. And in this case, there are also many different types of cameras. You have on one side the kind of output, the type of connection. The USB is the simplest one, the less expensive, typically. And almost any computer nowadays can use one of these cameras. IEEE 1394 or FireWire cameras is also very easy. This my computer, for example, also has a FireWire port somewhere. Then you can just plug a FireWire cable from your camera. And there are other standards, other connections, more specific for industrial applications. The camera link is one that allows high-speed cameras to work. And there are also cameras that directly have Ethernet output. Then you can connect them to your computer using a typical Ethernet cable. According to the quality of the camera, there are typically two different cameras. Here in the drawing you have two different samples. The one in the left, I think it's around $30 in price, and the one on the right is around $3,000. Okay? What's the main difference in this case? Well, this is a simple webcam that gives color images. I think that with FireWire output is this slot here. Okay? And has a single sensor inside. Well, a single sensor use a color filter array. Then typically for each pixel, actually it has four subpixels, usually two that are sensible to green, one to red, and one to blue. Okay? Then for each pixel inside of the camera, there is actually four different pixels. Actually, on the sensor, you have four receptors, and on top of each small receptor, there is a filter that takes out the wavelengths that do not correspond to the corresponding color. Okay? Well, the problem with this single sensor that is also used in most photographic cameras use this kind of pattern. This is called the Bayer pattern. Bayer pattern. One problem that has this pattern is that the color that you obtain for one pixel actually doesn't correspond, the four values in this case do not correspond to exactly the same point in your environment. Okay? Through the lens of the camera, one point will go to here, but the light that comes to the blue area comes from a slightly different point in the environment. Okay, it means that the actual resolution of the color may be a little worse. The camera on the right has three CCD sensors inside. It means typically it has a prism that breaks the light in three paths, and there is one sensor in each path. Okay? Then in this case, the light that comes from the very same point in the environment is simply split in three and arrives to the same pixel in each of the sensors. Okay? In this case, the resolution of the color is much better, but of course it's much more expensive. Okay? Well, but in practice, usually, well, there are, of course, intermediate things with better lenses and probably better components than these very simple webcams, but still using one single sensor, but that also give a very reasonable color resolution. Well, and finally, some ideas about very simple ideas about color image processing. Usually, to process color images, we use the hue saturation intensity model. And all the classical image processing we have studied on previous lessons can be applied directly to the intensity image. Okay? For example, we can do histogram equalization in a color image using this simple process. We have, imagine we have an RGB image, okay? First we transform to hue, saturation and intensity, and if we want to equalize the histogram, it means to obtain an image where all intensities, there are the same amount of pixels with all the intensity values, it means an image with good contrast, then you can simply equalize the histogram of the intensity image and build again the RGB image using the same hue, the same saturation, and the new value of intensity. Okay? Then, by doing this process, we simply have corrected the contrast in our image, the histogram of the intensity, but we have not touched without touching the hue and the saturation. Okay? Then the colors will more or less remain the same, but we have boosted the contrast in our image. Okay? Well, for the eighth practical lab, what you have to do is to detect oranges in an orange tree. Okay? Then for this, you need the previous lesson of region growing, and you need also to process the color images, first to obtain hue, saturation and intensity, and then using the color information, mainly the hue of the image, to detect, to grow regions that corresponds to the oranges in your image, okay? Then the idea is hue and saturation gives the color independently of intensity. That is a very important property, because in the images you will have, there are some oranges that are under the sun, and there are oranges that are in the shadow part of the tree. And also there are some oranges, some photographs taken in the night with a flash. Okay? And then the light that arrives to each orange depends on the distance to the flash. Closer oranges are brighter, and farther away oranges are darker. Okay? Then, if you work with hue and saturation, most of the problems related with intensity are gone. Okay? You essentially ignore the intensity. Then, to perform color segmentation, you can mostly use the hue. If we go back to the hue saturation intensity diagram, you can see here that yellow is between red and green. Then typically yellow color will have 60 degrees, a hue of 60 degrees. Okay? Yellow color. Orange color will be between yellow and red, then we'll have around 30 degrees of hue. Okay? In contrast, the green of the leaves will have 120 degrees of hue. Okay? Then to find oranges, it's a good idea, it's a wise idea to use seed points that are around these values, with hue values of, say, around 30 degrees, something like that. Okay? Then the seed values can be chosen using more or less the hue. And for growing the region, probably you want to include also some yellow areas in your image, in your oranges. Well, the reason for that is that in some of the images you will process, some of the colors can be saturated. Remember, we have said that RGB is a three-dimensional space, but we take a cube inside this space, for example, with red, green and blue between 0 and 1. Okay? Then let's represent here in this drawing only the red and green components. Okay, ignore the blue for the moment because it's not useful and not present in nature. Okay? Then the point 1, 1 corresponds to one in red and one in green will be the yellow. Okay? Orange color will be between red and yellow, more or less here, okay, with a hue value of around 30 degrees. Okay? If we have a very dark orange, we'll have a dot here. If we increase the lighting going to the orange, the value of red content and green content will go bigger and bigger along this line that corresponds to the hue of the orange. Okay? The problem is that when the red channel saturates, it means if we go to this point, for example, with red equal to 1 and green equal to 0.5, okay? Red equal to 1 and green equal to 0.5, and we increase the lighting, red cannot be bigger than 1, then it gets saturated. Then the dot will go along the red line. It means the green will increase, but the red will remain fixed. Then with more light, this will become, for example, red equal to 1 and green equal to 0.9. Then mostly yellow. It means oranges that are at bright sun become yellow. Okay? What happens with leaves? Well, leaves typically are here, between green and yellow. Vale? Then, one leaf that is dark will be here. If it's brighter and brighter, the contents of green will increase, and also the contents of red. When the green gets saturated, to 1, to the maximum value. If we continue increasing the lighting, the point will shift to the yellow. Okay? Then, one problem you will find in the orange tree photographs is that oranges that are too bright will shift to the yellow, and leaves that are too bright will also shift to the yellow. Okay? Then you have to tune your algorithm, the region growing algorithm, to be sure to try to keep all points that correspond to the oranges, but don't choose the points that correspond to the leaves. Okay? You cannot say all yellow points, let's take all yellow points. Probably it's a bad idea. Okay? Probably yellow points, then for selecting seeds, you should stick to orange points. And maybe for growing the regions, you can be a little less selective and allow some yellow points to enter the region. Okay? But if you start with yellow points, you will get leaves instead of oranges. Or at least you will not get only oranges. Okay? Is that clear? Okay. And finally, some important details also. Then mostly color segmentation can be done using the value of hue, but selecting pixels in the area, in the hue area that you are interested in it, but take into account that some pixels have an unreliable value for age. For example, pixels with low saturation, it means pixels that are mostly gray, have not a well-defined color. If you look at this diagram, in the RGB diagram, if the vector is very small, the direction of the vector is not well-defined. Okay, then when the color is very close to the gray, you cannot tell if it's red or if it's blue, if it's orange or not. Okay? Then points with very small value for S are probably not very useful. Same with pixels with low intensity. If the intensity is small, neither hue nor saturation is defined. Is well defined. In the extreme case, if intensity is zero, then a pixel with value 000 has no defined intensity. Well, intensity is zero, but saturation and hue is not defined. Okay? Then you have to reject pixels that are either with very low intensity or with very low saturation, because its hue is not reliable enough to classify them. Okay? Well, taking into account all these details, doing the 8 practical lab is not a difficult issue, I think. Okay? Do you have any question? Any practical question about the lab? No? Okay, then thank you for your attention.